that's watching online, hallelujah. I trust it's a blessing to you. I've entitled this message, Relationships. Relationships. This is part one. We're going to talk about relationships, but in a broad way, okay? Like I said, I haven't heard others talk about some of these things like this. So I trust it's a blessing to you. I trust you find it biblically correct. That's why I give you a lot of scripture up there that try to back up what I'm saying with the Bible. So here's the main theme that I want to get over to you. We're going to put it up on the screen, okay? Understanding and putting into practice the meaning of two words is the foundation for all good relationships. That's a pretty powerful statement. Let's say it again. Understanding and putting into practice. Got to understand it, and then you got to put it into practice. The meaning of just two words is the foundation for all good relationships, whether that's a relationship with your spouse, your children, your boss, your friends, your coworkers, your brother, your sister, your schoolmates, okay? These two words are the foundation for all good relationships. And here's what the two words are, okay? Love and respect. Love and respect. When there's love and respect in the home, on the job, between the employer and the employee, you've got the makings for a good relationship. You've got the makings for a good relationship. Now, I'm going to give you Ephesians 5:33, and I want you to realize this in an expanded version. You know, if you read the Bible without the help of the Holy Spirit, you're going to miss certain things. Because here's what the Bible says, the natural man does not understand the things of God, neither can he know them. Okay? What does that mean, the natural man? It means the natural mind. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. This is a supernatural book that needs supernatural understanding, and this is a good example of it. Let's look at Ephesians 5:33. Okay? Now watch. Every husband must love his wife as being, in a sense, his very own self. That's real important, the way that's worded. Every husband must love his wife as being, in a sense, his own self. What do you mean as being, in a sense? Certain translations say, must love his wife in particular like himself. Well, I like this translation a lot better. Every husband must love his wife as being, in a sense, his very own self, and the wife is to respect her husband. Whoa, okay. Well, if you take that scripture, and you might say, I thought you were going to talk about relationships for everything. How does that work in a business relationship? How does that work with friends? How does that work with my employer? Okay, we're going to show you all that, okay? But I want you to realize the two words that need to be in any relationship. Love and respect. Now, does anybody here think, maybe I shouldn't word it that way because some people do think this. Does anybody think that God is saying, husbands, you need to love your wife? You don't have to respect her, just love her. Does anybody think he's saying, wives, you need to respect your husband? You don't have to love him, but you got to respect him. Does anybody believe? He's not. He's not saying that. God wants the husband to love and respect his wife, and he wants the wife to respect and love her husband. There's a reason he put it that way first, but he's not saying you just need to do the one without the other. You need both. Okay. All right. So what does it mean? In a nutshell, here's what it means to love in relationships. Prove somebody that you care. Just prove that you care. Okay? Prove that you care. Here's what it means to respect. Show appreciation. Just, boy, if you can get that in a relationship, if somebody, you know, you like it when somebody says to you, boy, I really appreciated that. Boy, that made all the difference in the world. Thank you. That does something for you. And you like it when somebody proves to you that they care. They did something. They remembered something. They went out of their way. Like I said, this works in every relationship. Showing somebody you care, showing somebody you appreciate. And it works the best when both engage in that. Engage in that. So to back this up, I want to give you a number of scriptures that the Bible talks about loving one another, not just your spouse. Okay? Respecting one another, not just your spouse. All right? So I'm going to give you a number of these, and then and they'll be on your handouts, and then we're going to get into some other scriptures here. But to prove to you, I'm going to put this scripture up there, to prove to you that the marriage relationship principles work for every relationship, I want to give you this scripture. Isaiah 54:5 says, your master, meaning God, is your husband. I gave that to you not too long ago. Do you see that? Your master, God, is your... What's he saying? He's saying, look, I want a relationship with you like a marriage. And what he means by that is a close, intimate relationship. Okay. All right. So these principles work for everything. It works with God. God loves us and he respects us. Did you know there's a Bible verse, I forget offhand where it's at, and it says, concerning the work of my hands, command me. I can't believe God said that. Well, what's he saying? He's saying, look, when I give you a promise of what I said I will do, I want you to pray in the name of Jesus and command it to be so. That's basically what he's saying. Brother, well, how can he do that? Because he not only loves us, he respects us. So God's perfectly justified to say, don't you love me and respect what I say? When you have that kind of relationship with God, as he has that with us, you're going to have a good relationship with him. And that's huge. That's huge. All right, let me give you some more scriptures about love, then we're going to give you some about respect. In John 13:34, Jesus said, love one another, just as I have loved you. Remember, love means you prove to somebody you care. You prove to, you made a phone call, you did this, you did that, whatever. You prove to somebody you care. 1 John 4:11, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. In Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's important. That's a message in itself. How did he forgive us? Well, because I asked for it. And you ought to be glad about that, because there are certain things that I did wrong that I didn't know until a lot later. And if I was waiting, you know, to say, well, okay, I confess it. Oh, okay, now you're okay. God forgives us based on what Jesus did. Now, I'm not saying it's not good to confess it and say, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. I didn't say that's not good, okay? You get benefits by doing that, okay? But he doesn't forgive you because you recognized it and asked for it, because a lot of things we don't even recognize. I mean, I wish I didn't have to say this, but certain things I thought I was doing phenomenal in, and then later on I found out it was totally wrong. That can not make you feel the best, and yet God forgave me. All right, that's, like I said, that's a message in itself. Here's another one that I'm gonna get into this more next week. So don't miss that, dear God. That's going to save your life, some of these things I'm going to say next week. 1 Peter 4:8, here's what it says. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Have you ever read that? What does that mean, love covers a multitude? Well, yeah, well, I know he's sleeping around, but let's just cover it up. Is that what that means? I know he lies all the time, but just, you know, if you really love him, just come, act like it doesn't happen. It's not what he's saying. Now, but that's why some people don't get turned on to the Bible. They see things like this and they say, well, that can't be true. That can't be right. That can't be good. If I really love somebody, I'm going to cover it up. The guy's killing me. Here's another one that people have a problem with. If he hits you on the cheek, turn the cheek. Yeah. Oh, brother. If he asks you to go a mile, go two. He takes your coat, give him your cloak also. Dear God. Here's another one. Don't resist evil. I'm going to get into all that next week. Because when you just take that at face value without understanding the Greek words, you think, God, are you trying to get me killed? Are you setting me up to be Mr. Doormat? That's what it looks like, right? And if you don't understand some of these things and you just take it at face value without understanding the real Greek and you start doing this, there's a whole bunch of people out there that'll take advantage of you. Because here's everybody's favorite Bible verse. Even if they're an agnostic and an atheist, everybody knows this. Judge not. You're judging me. They all know that. And they all know this. Well, you know, if you were really a Christian, you need to forgive me. Now, I'm going to keep on doing it, but you need, love covers a multitude of sins. You need to turn the other cheek. There are people out there that'll take advantage of that, and they'll beat you to death. Isn't this getting good? You want to know the answers to all of that? Come next week. I'm going to give you the answers. No, I wish I didn't have to say this. It's a little embarrassing due to the fact that I've been preaching over 50 years. And I just realized yesterday what those verses really mean. And it set me free. Woo! And so you're going to get the benefit of that. Okay. All right. Let's go on here. I'm getting happy before it's time. All right. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. May the Lord make you to increase and abound in love for one another. So not only am I supposed to love one another and prove that I care and show appreciation, I'm supposed to grow in that. Grow in that. Okay, I've put up with it enough. I've gotten in my duty. No, it's not a duty. It's a lifestyle. Okay. Another one. 1 John 3:18. Let us not love in theory or merely by our words, but in action and in sincerity. Certain parts of the country are a lot more free with that word. I love you, especially if you go down south. And that's good. I like it. I like it. I'd rather them say I love you than I hate you. But it helps a lot if you prove it. Well, God said that. Don't love in theory or just with your mere words, but in sincerity, okay? Action and sincerity. Powerful stuff. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you can pray in other tongues. No, that's not what it says. By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you go to church every Sunday. No, that's not what it says. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. You want to be a real good witness to the world? Show them how much you love one another. Okay. Now let's talk a little bit here about respect and honor. Remember, God, it's a dynamic duo. God wants us to show love and respect for everybody. Husbands, wives, parents, children, boss, employee, schoolmates, whatever. Okay? Watch this. Romans 12:10. Outdo one another in showing honor, or you could say respect. Outdo them. I'm going to respect you. I don't have to agree, but I can show respect. Don't have to agree, but I can show respect. Here's another one. 1 Peter 2:17. Honor or show respect to everyone. I didn't write the Bible. I'm showing you these two words are foundational for having a good relationship. If either one is gone, if the love is not there, or the respect is not there, the gratitude is not there, the appreciation is not there, proving that you care is not there, it's not going to be the best of a relationship. Okay? Now, having said that, you can't go out of here and just say, well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start showing love. That's good, but you have to depend on the strength of God to do it, because some people aren't that loving. Well, I'm going to show respect. I'm going to show that I really appreciate. It might take the grace of God. Okay. All right, so here's another one. Romans 13:7. Give respect to those that you should, and honor to those that you should honor. Whoa, okay. The point that I want to get over to you, the reason I gave you all of those is, and this is, I've got 3 points to this message. Here's my first point. The marriage of a man and a woman is an intimate relationship, but it's only one form of a marriage. I'll say that again. The marriage of a man and a woman is an intimate relationship, all right? That's how babies are born. That's getting pretty intimate, okay? The marriage of a man and a woman is an intimate relationship, but it is only one form of a marriage relationship, because the Bible shows us, that's why we gave you all these scriptures, that there's a biblical principle that works in all relationships, not just marriage. And that principle is showing love and respect. Showing love and respect. Showing love, and it works in every relationship. If one of those is gone, relationship's probably not too good. Okay. All right, here's my second point that I want to get over to you. The cycle of harmony and success, The cycle of harmony and success, whether it's for a family, your spouse, your business, your friends, your schoolmates, okay? The cycle of harmony. See, when there's love and respect, there's going to be harmony. The cycle of harmony leads to the cycle of success. Well, guess what? Love and respect is a cycle. It's a cycle. For instance, if somebody proves to you that they really care about you, it's going to be a lot easier for you to show them gratitude. Well, thank you. Turn that around. If you show somebody how much you appreciate them, it's going to be real easy for them to love you back. It's a cycle. And the reason we've got to get into that is because of harmony, and that all starts with God. The Bible says we work together. Without faith, it's impossible. Here's what one translation says. God said this: without faith, it's impossible to walk with God and please Him. Why? Because we are to work together. We are laborers together. So I have to be in harmony with the God marriage relationship, and I need to be in harmony with the husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship, boss, okay, employer-employee relationship. I need to be in harmony. And love and respect are the two foundational words that brings that harmony. But it takes the power of God for that to work right. All right. So love and respect, they work on one another like that, and that leads to the unity and the harmony. All right, I'm going to give you now, 22, 3, 4, 5. I'm going to give you about 4 verses here that I want you to look at in a new vein here, okay? Ephesians 5:21, okay? Ephesians 5:21. Be willing to submit to one another and to serve one another out of respect. How about that? There's that word. Out of respect for Christ. Now notice it said one another. I'm showing you that showing respect works in all relationships, okay? Be willing. So if we put that in the marriage, the husband needs to be, oh man, this almost sounds ungodly, but it's biblical. The husband needs to be submissive to the wife. When's the last time you heard a preacher say that? Because they all know another verse that we're going to give to you in a minute, okay? They all know, no. She's supposed to be submissive to him. Submit one to another. Husband is supposed to be submissive to the wife, and the wife is supposed to be submissive to the husband. Okay. Now, I know I already talked about husband is to love and the wife is to respect. There's a reason he put it in that order, and we'll get to that in a little bit. What I want to get over to you here is the importance of how much we need to be respectful in every relationship. It's an attitude. Submission is an attitude, not necessarily an action. Okay? Some ministers will teach about wives being submissive, and it does say that, but it doesn't say always be obedient. Okay? You'll like this, I hope. Okay. You know you can be obedient without being submissive? Okay, I'll do it. Okay. Guess what? You can be submissive without necessarily being obedient. Oh, that's good, Gary. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So get that in you. Submission is an attitude. God wants us to respect one another in all relationships, even husbands being submissive to their wives, wives being submissive to their husband, parents being submissive to the children. Not that they run the home. Dear God, they don't know what they're doing, especially if they're 3 years old. But you need to try to understand where they're coming from. And those children better learn how to be submissive to the parents, okay? So they don't know a whole bunch. Now, they might think they do, but anyway. All right? Okay. I want to give you Ephesians 5:22, and wait till you hear the expanded version of this. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. See? The wife is submit. They're supposed to submit. If you don't, listen, when you read the Bible, if you don't read it in context of who was talking, who were they talking to, and what was the situation when they were talking? Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as a service to the Lord and under the Lord's authority. That's a powerful verse. You know what this was happening? Back then, women were, I'm going to say, glorified slaves. I don't even know if I could use the name glorified. It was definitely a man's world. And they had all kinds of authority, legal authority, over anybody that called themselves a female. God came along and set women free, and he said, wives, you need to have a submissive attitude, but just to your own husbands. If some dude comes in here and tells you to do this and that and the other, you're not under any responsibility to follow him. That's what he was saying. Okay? That's huge. That's huge. Then he said this, and make sure when you're being submissive, even to your own husband, it's under the Lord's authority. Now, here's the benefit of being 73. There was a fad. That's all it was. It was stupid, okay? I said that as nice as I could. I'll say it again. It was stupid, okay? There was a fad going on in the church where if the husband said, sweetheart, I don't want to go to church anymore, she was supposed to say, yes, dear. That was really preached from the pulpit. If he comes home and says, look, I don't want to go to church anymore. I want to go to the bar, and I want you to get drunk with me. Yes, dear. See why I say stupid? You'd be surprised how many people swallowed that. That was really a fad. I don't know what else to call it, because it sure wasn't a godly doctrine, okay, type of thing. Now, it's gone now. Thank God, okay? Now, God is telling us to be submissive under the authority of God. So in other words, if that guy comes home and he says, I want you, I know you're a Christian, I'm not yet, and I like to go to bars and get drunks, and I want you to do that, I want you to come with me. Sweetheart, I love you, but I'm not doing that. See? Oh, isn't this good? Yes, it is. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, stick with me. Ephesians 5:23. Wait till you hear this one. I hope this has given clarity to show the importance of love and respect to everybody in all situations, but we got to straighten out the family thing because everything flows out of the family, okay? Everything flows out of it. All right, look at this. For the husband is the head of the wife. See? He's the big banana. The husband is the head. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. When you study the Greek, like I said, I just found this out. That word head there means three things in the Greek. It can mean the head is where the brain and the face are. Well, everybody knows that. Duh. Okay. It can also mean like the head waiter. It can mean leadership, the person in charge. And a lot of the guys like that. But it can also mean the head is the origin. The origin. And I believe that's what God's trying to put over. Catch this now. Husbands, you're the head, you're the origin of the wife, even as Christ is the origin of the church. See that, how that makes sense? And he's the Savior of the body. I'm going to tell you what a woman told me this. A woman told me, this was a long time ago. This is when a lot of things were going on in a woman's movement, this, that, and the other, and I remember her saying, I don't mind being called a wool man. That's what she said to me. I don't mind that. I'm a wool man because I came from the man. Woman told me that. I said, well, you got a point there. But here's what I want you to realize. That's what he means when he said, the man is the origin of where the woman came from. And the reason you need to respect her is because if you don't, you're disrespecting a gift that God gave you. Because he gave it. You might say, now remember what I told you. Come next week. Because you're sitting here thinking, you want me to respect my wife? I mean, she works for the mafia. She's a hit person. Okay. How can I respect you? You know what she did? I get it. But God's not calling you to be a doormat. He's not calling. I'm going to. And when the Bible says don't resist evil, I'm telling you, you'd better get the real understanding. And I can't point my finger at you. I just got it yesterday. Oh, don't miss that. Okay. Now, the husband needs to see the wife as somebody that came from him. But you know where God. Somebody tell me. What part of the man did he take to make the woman? Somebody tell me. Yeah, the rib. Why did he do that? He was trying to send a message so that they'll work side by side. He didn't take it out of his foot so that he could dominate her. He didn't take it out of his head. I'll get it right. So that she could dominate him. See the respect and the love? It's a cycle. It flows one to another. See that? They're supposed to work side by side. Now let me bring this. This ought to be real, real good. Because this was, like I said, this was a fad that went on that the husband was supposed to be in charge no matter what he said, even if he was an idiot. Let him take care of the finances. The wife might have been saying, he doesn't know how to add. If I put the finances in his hands, we're going to go bankrupt. Boy, you're quiet on that one type of thing. Okay? Okay. There needs to be an understanding who's got the goods here. If the husband sees that the wife is better with that, let her do it. It's okay. If the wife sees the husband better, let him do it. That's respecting and submitting one to another. That's working side by side. So whether that's in a home, whether that's in a business, wherever it's at. Okay? Okay. So catch this. The husband is to be the origin, just like Christ is the origin and is the Savior of us. Well, are you telling me that the man is to be the Savior of the wife? No, but he's to be an open door whereby she comes to her full fruition. That's what Jesus is. He was the origin where we could have life and have it abundance. That's why he started off by saying, husbands, love your wife. Prove to her that you exist to help her be all that she's going to be. Whoa. And if you'll do that, the cycle starts. It'll be a lot easier for her to respect you. Now, if you're married to Jezebel, that's going to be hard. Now, let me give you this next verses here. Ephesians 5:24 and 25. Catch this, okay? Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. But you have to put all those verses together. You know what he's saying? He's saying, husbands, the church, just like the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. Just like the wife needs to be submitted to the husband because he has proven his love, the husband needs to prove his love by being submissive to her. It's a cycle that goes round and round. Here's where the difficulty comes in that we can't get into until next week. All I want you to get right now is the importance of loving and respecting one another. Loving and respecting one another. Loving and respect, that means you respect their opinion. That means you're going to give them time and listen. That means you're going to respect and try to understand where they're coming from. Because if you haven't found out yet, women and men speak a different language. See how you're already starting to laugh? I'll prove it to you. If I go to the closet and I go out and I tell Radine, I don't have anything to wear. You know what that means to me? That means I don't have anything to wear. That means there's nothing in there. It's in the washing machine. I don't have anything to wear. If she goes to the closet and says, I don't have anything to wear, that means I don't have anything that fits. Or I don't have anything new. It's there. And so you have to go. You have to learn how to read each other's code. See, I got your attention on that. You want another one? I'll give you one with Radine and I. This is the first time she's heard this. I like it when she comes to church. Which she does all the time. But I mean, okay? I'm real big. Real big on, I'm sorry. I'm real big on it. She's not real big on saying it. She's real big in proving it. The Lord just showed me this. This is the first time she's hearing this because I just learned it. We've been married almost 50 years. Dear God. All right. I'm real big on saying it. I'm sorry. And I mean it. She's big on proving it more than me, and I'll show you why. Here's what happened. So if I do something, or if she does something that I'm upset with, she'll know it. But then I'll say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. On the other hand, if it's turned around, okay, and something went awry, she won't say she's sorry. I mean, eventually she will. But you know what she'll say at the drop of a hat? She'll still call me honey. I don't do that. Now, I never call her honey because when we were first married, we went to a meeting and there was a guy there that talked about the importance of calling your wife something special. And he said, I call my wife chocolate. That's what he said. I call my wife chocolate. He said, you need, and he pointed to us. He pointed to Rudy because we were just married. You need to say something special. So I picked up the word Dolly. She's my Dolly. I always call her Dolly, except when I'm upset with her. When I'm upset with her, I'm not even calling her Dolly. I'll come around. I'll eventually come around type of thing. But she has no problem calling. Now, I never call her honey. I call her Dolly. I might call somebody else honey because it's a sisterly term to me. I don't call anybody else Dolly but her. She is my Dolly. So I've never called her honey, but you'll call me honey, okay? Which, by the way, if you call each other honey, that's fine. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just telling you where I come from, okay? When I'm upset, and sometimes it's amazing to me that I know she's kind of frustrated with something I did, and she'll still call me honey. Dear God! I want to say, how do you do that? It's called the love of God. We speak a different language. And it helped me to see she is saying, I'm sorry, by calling you honey, even though she might not feel like it. We speak a different language, okay? Men and women speak a different language. Your boss, your employer, an employee might speak a different language. Other friends might say. So you have to learn how to decode things. You have to try to learn where somebody's coming from. And that takes respect, love and respect. It's a cycle. All right, here, I want to give you this last point, because I feel like this is something I'm going to get into next week. Well, I am going to get into it. Oh, dear God, don't miss it. Bring as many people as you can. I'm telling you, this is good. Okay, I'm putting it up on the screen. Here it is. All right, remember this, okay? The Bible is a book of boundaries and consequences. Did you hear that? The Bible is a book of boundaries. Can't God, God's got some do's and don'ts, brother. And they're for our good. But we don't like that. We want what we want when we want it. And forget the rules. Now, the Bible is a book of boundaries and consequences if you cross that boundary. That's what you have to learn to deal with in relationships. You're telling me to love my wife. You're telling me to respect one another. Love and respect one another. Love and respect my boss. You know what he did? He ripped me off. You know what my friend did? They lied to me. You're showing me to love and respect. You know what they did? They broke a boundary. And you have to learn how to deal with that boundary. Well, I'll say it. I didn't finish the thing here. The Bible is a book of boundaries and consequences. So we need to know how to set up boundaries and how to handle those situations when boundaries are broken. That's huge. Every relationship, husband and wife, parents and children, I had boundaries as a child. Employer, employee, everybody's got boundaries. And sometimes they're going to be crossed. And when they are broken, you need to learn how to deal with that. And it's not just get your brains beat out. It's not just close your eyes and say, keep doing that in the name of love. Okay? We're going to talk about that next week. So today, the basic thing, we're to love and respect everybody with the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time.